is today's shiur is sponsored by Kol Zichron Mordechai and by the Muncie Night Seder based Medrash, which is housed in the Shari Tfila Shul in Wesley Hills in Forche. Our speaker today, Rav Yosef Weiner Schlitte, is one of the most sought after and inspiring speakers in the Jewish world today. He's Rav Kehilas Shar Shemayim in Wesley Hills. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Arnie Gottesman and family in honor of the bris of his grandson, Naftali, by Rav Dr. Ronan Hizami and family, Zecher Nishmas Brana Bat Yisrael and Elazar ben Yechia, by the Leibishberg family in the Schuth for Shlema, for Ruvain Alter, Mordechai ben Malka, the Eliyahu Pohl family, Doug Rosenthal, and the Night Center based Medrash, Zecher Nishmas Hachaver, Moshe, Mordechai ben Svi, and Chaim ben David. Thank you.
Brief time. I'm going to see if staff the people between the carpools and the yeshiva to get here in the morning. I asked for a title, so we were discussing decision-making process in tshuva. So the first ma'amokam that came to mind is the famous pasuk in Tehillim. Gives a mushal. The mushal over here is not very far from the pasuk itself. You have a sheep that's in a crowd of sheep, and it runs away to a different area. The sheep might not be aware that it's with a chevra it shouldn't be with. Different ages need different types of food and different care, as we know from Moshe Rabbeinu, where he cared for sheep. And the se'oive doesn't realize necessarily that he's in the wrong pack. And we should be intelligent enough to realize that we're in situations where we don't always stop, that we're not in the right place. So David HaMelech echoes this in the pasuk, the Yisik Yisrael Oved, in case we're lost and we don't realize it, Bakesh Avdecha, please look for us, please take us out, and please show us that there's a better way of doing things, there's a better place to hang around. One of the more famous Rashis in Chumash, in Parshas Bereishis, brings from Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu, so why say B'Losh and Rabin? Nasa can give a Pesach to an Apikeris to say, there's Shtei Rishuyos, more than one God created man, Chasa Shalom. So we all know that Rashi says, to teach us Derech Eretz, the Midav Anova that the Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is checking with the Malachim to teach us, even though Hashem didn't need any help, didn't get any help, but to teach us that you have to ask an objective third opinion. You have to reach out to other people who don't have the same ideas that you have in order to arrive at the Emes. The Sisu Chaim, he quotes from the Alter Slobodka, but explains that Alter says, you see from here that to learn a Midah Tova is more important even if it's going to slip into Kfirah. So obviously it doesn't mean if a person's a Kfirah Biker and he doesn't believe in the Yud Gimel Ani Mamez, as long as he's a nice guy, he's doing well. What it means, Sisu Chaim is explaining this within the Alter's brief statement, if a person is trying to arrive at the Nekuda Sa'emes, and he doesn't ask, and he has too much gaiva to think that anybody else can offer an opinion that will help him. So he's going to end up being a kofer anyway. He's not going to end up succeeding in his avodah. So it's not that learning Musar is more important than the mistake somebody might make. He quotes a medrash that says this beferish, when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing down the Chumash, he got up to this pasuk, Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu. And Lashon he has, B'shoshi, Moshe Kosef is a Torah, Kivin Shigi, L'Pasuk Hazeh, Nasa Adam, Mama L'Fanav Yibena, Ola Ma'ata, Nesim Pisgum Peh L'Minim. Why are you giving a Pisgum Peh? The Minim can make a mistake. To which Hashem answered, Amal Levanov, Kosh Baruch says, Kisayiv, write it. V'aretza litois yite. Upshot that somebody might make a mistake. V'aretza litois, somebody's looking for mistakes, looking for rayas, he's going to go off the derech anyway. If a person wants to know how to stay on, how to stay focused, so they need this midas in general, but this particular midah of anivus, to know that you have to ask an objective opinion, and you have to be willing to follow direction, and you're not always right. The trick the Yetzer Hara plays is that everybody knows as they're approaching the Yom HaDin that they're, as from people, certain things we're good at and there are things we're not so good at. And the Atzos HaYetzer, and this is brought out in this week's Parsha Nitzavim, has a way of tricking us into believing that that's okay, there are certain things, not everybody's good at everything. Certain things I'm good at, and there are certain categories I'm not very good at, and therefore we won't focus on that. If it's a chorman, it's a hiddah, that's fine. If it's something nikar, a din, and a person gives up completely on that category, not, he or she is not working on it anymore. So at that point, it could be a bigger kitrik in shamayim. And if you look at the Targum, Pasuk says, after the Tochoch of last week's parsha, Pen Yeshbachem Isha Isha Meshbacha Shevet Shelavavo Pena Yem Yim Hashem Elokeinu Lechaz Lavedes Alehei Agayim Mehem. He wants to continue doing whatever he wants. Pen Yeshbachem Sherish Reish Peshalah. No, and this is rotten weed. V'Hayah B'Shama Az Divra Allah Zayis. So what is he going to do with Tochoch? We're talking a person who's a maimon basically. See, here's the Tochoch. How's he going to patter himself and continue doing whatever he wants? Hayyab Shamas Divre Allah Zaitz Viz Barak Balvava Laymar Shalom Ye Ali Ki Bivishrius Libi Eilech Vaman Tzvay Sarovas Asameya. So already you have an inkling before the next pasuk. This is so bad that Kosh Baruch Hu says, even if he does something Bishayik now, Vaman Tzvay Sarovas Asameya, he's going to get the full debit in the account as amazing, because Shagig is potter for a person who normally tries to do the right thing, and once in a while he slips up. A person is not machshav the category that is the problem already, then even the shogeg is the same as amazed. So already you see what's coming, and Hashem says over here, and this is, sounds harsher than even a regular bala veira, la yeva Hashem slayach lo, ki az yashan af Hashem v'kin asoy bishahu v'rov tzabo kol Allah tzubo b'sefer ha-teira hazeh. This is Hashem wants to wipe him off the face of the earth. Why is this guy worse? You heard the people here Muslim. I don't always listen. So this guy heard a klal, and he says, "Show me, Ali, what's so bad?" So if you look at the Targum over here, Targum Yenison ben Azil, there's two words that give the key of what the problem is and where you have to know the Yetzer Hara is talking. Vayhi b'shama say yas piskamu m'masa hada, when he hears this piskam of Misa, this tochacha, v'yizyayish b'libe l'meimah shloma yi'ali, the key word here, v'yizyayish b'libe, Russian Yish. Means the way he counteracts these is, look, I'm a good guy. I do well in many areas of Avodas Hashem. I'm not good at this. This Lashon Hara business, this Hasmada, Tzedakah, whatever category you feel you're not doing well, I'm good at other things. So these Yash Libe means that he had Yish from the category completely. So you would think, okay, not everybody's good at everything, so that's fine. Let him focus on other things. Pasuk says no. Kosh Baruch Hu is more Kaviyacha, more angry at somebody who has this attitude. It just gives up in certain aveiros and certain mitzvahs. With the exemption, I'm still from the yes, yayish belibe. I just haven't had success in this, and therefore I'm not going to focus on it. It's beyond me. Once a person has yish, then he gets hit with a shogeg in this category, because he just, it's not a shogeg, he just is not gerus the whole thing. And we all do this to some extent, because if you're from, you can't ignore it. You could just come to the conclusion that, well, I'm I'm now 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, whatever the age is, and I've tried many, many times, and it's just not working. Here comes another Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to focus on something I'm good at. Now, there is a concept in Afana, Arpidaka, so it's to work on your strengths also, but you can't get rid of a category. The Meshul Chochma says in by Nefesh Hasha'asa B'charon, the reason this happens is because people often work at things and then they look back at the project they're working on and it didn't work out according to plan. So we say, okay, it's a simon min shamayim that I should really focus my energies on something else. And sometimes that's true. Quite often, the Meshul Chochma says, he uses a Nefesh Hasha'asa B'charon as an example. Avraham Avinu had the yeshiva running at Sari Amenu for many, many years. Yitzchak Avinu continued the yeshiva. By the time they went down to Mitzrayim, the number was 70, and there should have been hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Where did everybody go? All these nefesh ha'asa b'charon that the Torah keeps talking about. So the Zayar says that the taka floated back into the woodwork, so to speak, and the ones that were affected, the future neshamas of all the Geirim in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's trying to answer the Avraham Avinu, all those avodah went to waste. This is not wasn't a waste. It had an effect, and the Shama's coming back. That's al pi nister, al pi nigla. The Meshul Chochma says that the taka went back, and they were all chaz l'siran, which is shocking. After all that work, you work with somebody, try to be mashpia, and somebody try to be makariv, somebody, friends, neighbors, children, sometimes, and you throw up your hands afterwards. Is after all this. So the Meshul Chochma says, no, the reason the Torah records this in the Pasuk is to show you that Avraham Avinu was correct in what he did, and he accomplished a lot. Three generations later, they went down to Mitzrayim, and no one seems to be around. It doesn't make a difference. For the time, they once asked the Briska Rav, the Machanech was very frustrated, was working with a particular bracha for a long time, and then years later, it didn't seem to have any effect. And he said, the time you were working with him, he said another Kriya Shema. He learned the Blat Gemara. You did a mitzvah too. So Bashe Husham, you accomplish something. It doesn't make a difference what happens at the end. We're here to do and not to necessarily accomplish. And this is an important thing to focus on. You try to take stock and the Yom Narun, Rosh Hashanah, says, what did I work at? What did I accomplish? And then we, being very practical Americans, we try to make the list of the cause and effect. And this didn't really work out. And therefore, it's not for me. And therefore, this category is not for me. And therefore, this avodah is not for me. And I'm not going off the derech, but I'll focus on something where I see instant gratification or I see immediate tzipuk. That doesn't mean you shouldn't look for the things you're better at and work with the people you think you have a greater success. But the fact that there was success and there wasn't is not necessarily the measure of whether it was the correct thing to do. Similarly, there's a benchmark of what we think are... I told over the Mesa in shul for the a couple of people who are still not coming at 8:45 in the morning. I know what time davening here is Shacharis on Shabbos. What time do you daven? 8:30. Okay, so you have one or two people still coming at 8:32, 8:33? Okay, that can happen. I guess so. So I told Avraham Meister that I remember from many decades ago where I was davening with, there was a fellow who must have heard some stirring drasha and decided that's it. He's turning over a new leaf after 20, 30 years and he's coming on time. And he came taka to Shacharis at 8:45, and did he get it from his friends? It was one snide comment after another. The whole Shacharis, the last time he ever came on time. So here we have a situation where a person's trying, he's not getting the support he needs, just getting a lot of sarcastic remarks, a friendly sarcastic remark. Oh, look who became from. Oh, what's the matter? You know, it got thrown out of the house. Well, all sorts of interesting comments. Instead of either the best thing is just to ignore it and recognize with inspiration that's the new hymn, or be mechazikit. And people often give up because of the negative peer pressure, and quite often before it even gets there, they give up because they have settled into this yish aspect, that's me, that people come on time, that people come late, that people are nizer and this, and I'm not, and this is the way it is. And we think it's beyond us already. Rabbi Chanan had a chavusa in yeshiva, who was zechet to learn with Rabbi Chanan in yeshiva. And one day he came, Rabbi Chanan and him had a 5-hour seder from 9 in the morning till 2. And he once came at 9:03. It happened once, no, it happened once. The second time he came, Rabbi Chanan just asked him, you have a watch? He said, took out his, they didn't have much as that, took out his gold watch and his vest. That was the only thing of value they had. He said, yeah, I have a watch. The Chal didn't know what the question was. It was 9:03. What's the shayla they have a watch? So he thought, maybe you want to know the time. So he said, here, Rebbe, here's the time. So he said, no, I know the time. It's 3 minutes late. So he, Brantford, he said, I had a human condition. I was late. And he pointed out to him, he says, in the Tsar's army, they line up for roll call at 6 a.m. No one is ever late. Not 1 minute, not 10 seconds. Said, why does anybody have to go to the bathroom? Why is anybody getting another coffee? The answer is, it's roll call. And if you know something has to get done, everything in life, it's a question of putting things on a pedestal and deciding that this is the Zman and this is the Din and this is not a Chumrah. We have a lot of confusion between what's a Hiddur, what's a Chumrah, and I'm dealing with Shailas, and sometimes people will ask in a friendly way. Usually the people don't know me very well. They said, is that a holiday? Is that a Chumrah? If I have a Chumrah, I'll let you know. Everything we say is Maker Adin. No Chumrah's over here. And Davening is Maker Adin, and Dibur is Maker Adin, and Asmada, believe it or not, is Maker Adin. And we think it's beyond us because we don't set a goal that's lofty enough according to our real kaychus. You have I think it was one of the British explorers. In the 1920s, they started trying to conquer Mount Everest, which is pure gaiva. Torah Tamima says in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Yom V'Laila Lo Yishpes, the Makor, the Goyim can't keep a holiday, can't make a Shabbos for themselves, it was Sunday, so why can't, what's trapped in that? They can't have a day off. Have Labor Day. Can't have an official day off. So according to the half the Rishayim, Labor Day is an Issa D'Oraisa. Not for Jews, only for Goyim. For Jews, it's a day for learning. So what does it mean? So he explains in a positive way. He says the purpose of an Akum is to conquer the world and develop the world and develop science. And having time off is not healthy. You take a break once in a while, but shouldn't be an official like Sunday every once a week. Shabbos is a Sunday. So maybe the Torah Tamim explains it, but this seems to be shot in the Gemara. The Pashtun is Yom V'Laila, the sun, the moon, everything will go back in sync, as it wasn't during the Mabul. But the Gemara learns out that a guy can't make a holiday, a Shabbos or Yom Tov for themselves, not just a religious holiday, because we're here to perform, and for them, time off can get into trouble, and for Yidden, time off just means you have more time to learn, hopefully. So you got to wonder, somebody goes into space. So at least over there you can develop science. A lot of the technological breakthroughs that we have today were just originally created by NASA to get into space. And then for the military, and then they got down to the regular citizens. They didn't think there was anything to discover on Mount Everest. So why'd they try? In the last 60, 70 years, over 200 people died trying to get up there. And not too many people made it. They finally made it. When was it? In 53. He made it to the top, but they didn't expect to find any chidushim. So one of the early explorers, this is the journalist asked him, he was a British explorer in the 1920s, and they asked him, why do you want to do this? And he gave his famous answer, because it's there. That was a real statement. So what's shot? The shot is this is not for them. It keeps them busy, keeps them in shape. We're okay with it, but it shows you the godless of a human being that can focus on something and not let go. We have to take the examples from what we see going on around us and use it for our rukhniyas. It makes no sense. There's no reason to do it. He didn't have a good terrorist. That's why he said, because it's there. Because he couldn't even answer. We're looking for science and how things grow up at 29,000 feet. And they weren't missing any information. And there were people that got to 27,000 feet and 28,000 feet. And there were people at that point to blizzard conditions and 10 below zero. And most people died in the process, and then a couple of people made it. So where does that shifa, Hashem built that inborn in the human condition that we have to conquer and we have to show we did it? So all that is, it's gaiva, really. It's like, I was first, and I did it, and I climbed the mountain. That's no tachlis. But that midah of gaiva, that midah of looking to be able to show we can do it, is here for our ruchnias. There are many things that we feel are beyond us, which explains, you all know the din, that Seris Mechuvah, we try to be machmer, and things are not machmer all year round. Pas Yisrael, maybe Chalv Yisrael, and other chumrus. So everybody asks, all the Bali Musar asks, you're not going to follow through. It's not even your Hava Havamina. After Yom Kippur, it's one guy says, there's an Indian to have a Suda after Yom Kippur, so he likes to have Muchuk, because that way he can have Hagendas. So I said, why Hagen Das? He says, Achzeir is my tshuva, I'm not going to have Kol of Stam. So I said, maybe you can wait till like Simchas Teirah, Shemini Atzeres. So he knows, it's okay, nothing wrong. But if it's kosher, it's kosher. So why are we doing it? Who we can't fool God? So what are we doing during Achzeir is my tshuva? So Nechtam Eliyahu says this, and many others say a similar idea. In order to jar us into reality, you want to raise the bar and jump to a madrega perhaps you're not on, to be able to show that you can do it, and to be ma'ura, that midah of climbing mountains, so to speak, of being able to do something you think is a little bit beyond you. And you've been fooling yourself into thinking that we keep saying today, it's very popular, we're not in the madrega, not in the madrega. I'm a little nervous because the more you say that, we keep pounding, we're not in the madrega, not in the madrega. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we're not in the madrega for anything. So if we do something as Seis Mitzvah, which is really slightly beyond us, Mechlam Eliyahu says, and it jumpstarts our workliness to give us a taiva, to whet our appetite, to do great things, and to climb further than we can climb, we thought we can climb, it'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy in the prophecy. Whether or not it finds itself in Pas Yisrael and Mechal Yisrael is almost irrelevant. It's the fact that it shows us that things that we think are a little beyond us are not really so beyond us, and it gives you an appetite to be able to grow. That's the purpose of these chumras, these idurim during Yom Naran. Rav Itzel Lepetterberger goes down, it really lights up the two different Gemaras. Gemara Chulin, Daf Hei, teaches the Pasuk Adam Behemah Tishi Hashem. We say this very quickly at Mincha on Shabbos. And if you stop to think about it for a moment, which I'm sure you've had, this pasuk needs a taich, some shot. Adam behemah toshi Hashem. Hashem should save the people and the animals. But they don't belong to Peter. And we're not interested in saying them the same pasuk. Save people and save the animals. So the Gemara Darshins, it's referring to people who are supposed to be like animals. Elu b'nei Adam sha'arumim b'das ha'masim and asmim k'behemah. This is, you're going to hopefully repeat this to yourselves, to others, because this avitzel is a very very big insight in why we're doing mitzvahs and what our attitude's supposed to be. Hashem gave us intelligence and we're supposed to use it. Sometimes we outsmart ourselves and we're so smart, again, we think we know everything, we don't take directions from others, and we don't feel that other people have what to add. So Eil ben Eldon Shroom Medaz is you have to know that you're smart, and despite your brilliance, Masim and Asmik a behemah, you follow mitzvahs like a behemah, meaning you mevatel your das and you try to figure out what the Kosh Baruch Hu want and leave yourself out of it. Which again is that exercise of Anibis versus Gaiva. And Rav Itzel brings an example from the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara Kedushin says that you don't want to do a kinyan on the Eved versus a behemoth. A kinyan mashicha works on Eved. You actually take the Eved, grab the Eved, and a kinyan mashicha works on the behemoth also. If you call the behemoth to you, you don't do mashicha, the animal's over there, and you call and the animal comes, that's also a kinyan, because the animal came because of you. If you call the Eved, the animal, Eved walks over, it doesn't work. Why? Says, why? Because an Eved, when you call it, makes a decision whether or not to come. It's still a bus of a dumb. And he came because he wanted to come. When the cow comes, because his nature tells him, the master calls, you come by. So he says, Adam behemah toshi Hashem, is even though the people are umim b'das, they have to be doing the Dvar Hashem without too much of a decision-making process. Doesn't mean you put your brain in cold storage. It means you have to know what the avodah is and what the details are, but when it comes time to doing it, you have to be doing it without the negiyas. And he says, the pshat in the Gemara, Baba Kama, the Goyim were not keeping the Zion mitzvahs. So Gemara says that Hashem was mafkir them from the Zion mitzvahs. The Gemara says they don't get any schar. So Gemara says they get schar, ke'enu metuva v'isa. So what's pshat? Because they weren't keeping it, but they have to keep it anyway. So those Goyim have to keep it, so they get schar, ke'enu metuva v'isa. Where does this pshara come in? So he says that we all know, Tesis asks, why is a person who's Mitzvah get more schar than any Mitzvah? Any Mitzvah, you volunteer, but you should get more schar. You volunteer in the goodness of your heart. The answer is that when a person is Mitzvah, automatically the Yetzer Hara fights back, and nobody likes to be told what to do. The same gaiva, the same human condition. And Mamela, you have to struggle, should you do it, should you not do it. If you're not Mitzvah, you say, you have luxury, no one's telling you what to do, you want to volunteer, you're a Kanaka, you don't want to volunteer, do something else, totally up to you. Which really means, at the end of the day, you're not really doing the Ratzon Hashem, if it fits into your schedule, if it fits into your Netiyos, and your worldview, so then maybe you'll do it once in a while. You can't get that much schar with that. And the Goyim, by the fact that by and large they weren't doing it, Hashem said, even if you do it now, you're only doing it because it happens to fit in right now, not because you're really doing Ratzon Hashem. So you're not following Kodesh Baruch Hu like a behemoth, you're following like an independent free agent, and you can do whatever you want, and once in a while it happens to coincide. Again, we don't have this problem to the same degree, but as thinking individuals, the smarter you are, makes it easier to learn and remember. The difficulty is that you become more of a baldover in the decision-making process, which is can lead to problems, even though you can think things through. A classic example of this is Chumash. When Rivka Imenu had the nevuah of Shem Be'Aver of what was going to be with Yaakov and Esav, so she found it very difficult. Obviously, the news was a little shattering. You're going to have one who has a netiyah to be a Rasha, one a tzaddik. But she understood from there that there are going to be some very unusual decisions to make. And we all know that when she called Yaakov Avinu to come steal the brochas and lie his way through, this went against Yaakov Avinu's grain, Titan Anas Yaakov. And this is the first, really in Chumash, the first indication of a need, when it's necessary, to put your seichel almost on ice. Yaakov Avinu, everything he trained for was against what he was about to do. But his mother was a Naviyah, and he understood the Shia, the Devar Hashem, and she told him, listen to me, and whatever happens is I'm following good authority, and go in and do it. We're not very good at something like this, because especially in an area that we try to hone our skills, and we try to train for it, and then all of a sudden somebody tells us a psak, you're not supposed to do it, and we have 1,000 reasons why it's wrong. To just go follow directions is not so easy. And that's the only time, people, we always like to believe we're always following Das Torah. If we agree we're not following Das Torah, we're agreeing with our own decision-making process. It's only the time where you happen to disagree and happen to not understand is where you're following Das Torah. It takes a very great person with tremendous anivas to move out to themselves to that. It was a fabulous maisa, which is not, it's a story unto itself and a drasha unto itself. When Rav Shach was in Eretz Yisrael, this is the early, before the war, he had just escaped in the beginning when Hitler was in power, and came to Eretz Yisrael with nothing to eat and the shirt in his back. And there were Masader, he was already a Rosh Yeshiva in Europe. There were Masader Shtela, a certain Yeshiva in Tel Aviv, and he was there and he's being very matzlich with the Talmidim. As he always was, Talmidim always drawn to him, and his shirim were fabulous, and he was matapa with them. And after he was there a short while, he got the impression that certain people had tainas that he was there giving a hefshesh temple because the yeshiva, even though it didn't look like it now, was headed in a direction which he wouldn't approve of years later. But you couldn't really tell now. Araya, Rav Shach was there, and Avissa Zalman, his uncle, told him he should take this job. And it started bothering him that he didn't know if it was the right place. And mind you, there's no other shtetl in the making and he can't put food on the table. And somebody said, why don't you go see the Chaznish? You haven't met the Chaznish yet. Chaznish was in Bnei Brak already. And he went to the Chaznish and the Chaznish told him that he should leave immediately. Where am I going to go? But that Chaznish didn't offer. Just said leave and maybe you'll find a better place down the line, maybe you won't. It's not a question. He wasn't doing a menial job and he told him he should go leave and go take a shtel in yeshiva. He was in a place and he was accomplishing. And Avshach chopped himself, tells us over. He said, Rabbi, should I just go home and mention to my wife? We just got here and she's part of the equation. We have no food. We're just starting to be able to buy a table and chairs. So he said, no, go straight to the yeshiva and resign. Hospital fell on this site like this. Obviously, and his wife, Rabson Goodall, was a very, very big tzaddikus. Chaznish understood that this type of decision either you make now or it's not going to be made because, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense on paper. And he he went straight to the yeshiva. They thought it's because the salary wasn't high enough, and they doubled the salary. And he said, no, it's not the money. And after he left, the Talmidim came to him privately, and he kept learning with them. There were no hard feelings. There was not a question about Batsis Tere. And Oshach himself said, I didn't really fully understand or grasp what was going on. Chazni saw something down the line that I shouldn't be associated, and he understood it, and I didn't understand it. He went back to Avisa Zaman. Avisa Zaman sort of told him, he says, you had no panasa, and this is not usur. I wasn't going to tell you, but now that you left, if your decision is made, I'm happy for you. But it was such a close call that Avisa Zaman didn't want to say anything in the first place. So a lot of decisions that's from people that we make, we could be doing the right thing in life. Sometimes we could be doing something better. Sometimes there are things going on which you can't notice as you're in it, and you're doing good things. And somebody from the outside pushes you to go to Shalom Eitzah. Maybe this is not the best use of your time or your money. And part of Yom Naram from B'nai Terah, everybody here, is to constantly reassess. Is this the best mahalach? Is this the best use of my time? Am I making good use of my time? Is this the best use of my time? Can my schedule even be better? Can my money be used for even better things? A discussion last night, this discussion only takes place like 5 times a week. Baruch Hashem, I always remind them that these shadows didn't come up in Europe. But people were asking, a couple of Bali Stocker came to me and they said, it was after a long Sunday. Monsi Sundays are very special days because you can have a lot of people coming to you for donations. And a few people came to me after Meirav and they said, oh, what a day. I said, what happened is that there's so many tzrochim, it's unbelievable. So I said, I told them it's a 3-hour discussion. They wanted a regular achas. How much should I be giving? Want me to answer that as I'm standing there after Olenu? I didn't even say L'David yet. So I said, I assume it's Dover Pashut. This is the credit of Klai Yisrael, that you're giving 20% as the Mechaber Paskins, the first Mechaber in Hilchos Tokah. I'm not very well known, I'm not sure why, but the Shir of Meiser is not Meiser, it's Chaimish. And the B'dievet, if you give Meiser, if you can afford it. So I said, I assume you're giving Chaimish. They both rolled their eyes and they said, Chaimish, is this Chaimish? We're way past Chaimish. So I said, that's very nice. They said, well, Ad Kama. So I said, well, why don't you figure out what you need to live? And then, you're all wondering, but the Gemara says you can't get more than the Chaimish. So Shlomo Zalman is a tshuva. I have a lot of kulas in this department. Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva, and he says you can give 40, 50, 60%. As long as a person is an usher muflug, there's no chance that he's going to become poor. He can give well over 20%. And it's not just an usher muflug. It's somebody who is quite comfortable and knows the finances and knows clearly he only needs 50% for himself, he can give the other 50% away. And one of the two guys who stand there says, yeah, Aaron Leib told me that many years ago. I said, you've been doing it? He said, yes. Klaisel is very impressive. This is not a gevir out there off the chart, just the person who's giving. So I said, so what's the problem? He said, I had a very rough day. I tried to explain to him, Al-Regalachas. I said, you have to use what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you in the tools. I said, sometimes I could be giving shir all day and answering shailas at 2 in the morning, and then there's still another 12 messages. I can say to myself, I guess somebody else got to answer shaylas. And he says, but if you can help somebody, then it's your achrayus. So that's true with your money, that's true with your brains, that's true with your whatever you're offering other people. It's very hard. We like putting caps and everything in a neat package. It doesn't work that way. It's again, Chazal put a neat package. They said, Ad-Khaimish. It's interesting. The Chachilah shear is 20%, the B'dievah shear is 20%. It's interesting. The low end and the high end is the same shear. So the answer is yes on paper. Then you got to know. I'm well aware there's not no gear to most people. Halavai, we can afford to give 20%. But just the dogma that people in these are mavakshim and they're good, they're great guys, not good guys. They just need a little chizik once in a while, like everybody else. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're trying to focus on, we feel that if we're doing this category well, so I'm doing it so well. So why do I always feel guilty? I'm not doing better. The answer is a little bit of Jewish guilt mixed with a lot of simchas achayim is not bad for anybody. It pushes us to go further and further and further. And whatever area you're in, you're doing chesed. And one of my favorite examples, and I think this is Pashat Lechumish, and if you've never noticed this, Eliezer came to find the shidduch. Pasuk's made, he comes with 10 strapping young men, 6'4", 190 pounds, trim, fit, muscles. And he comes to the bear, and this little girl of, whatever age she was a little girl. I don't know if you ever had the pleasure of drawing water from a well. I did it once by the Kever Shmuel and Avi. Ever go in Eretz Yisrael? They have an old well there that still works. And they have some in Muncie. I still feel the aches and pains, and I was a teenager at the time, just getting the water up once. I mean, you got to really go down a whole pocket of water. It's a picture of a little girl carrying two of these on her shoulders. And she comes, and there's a gentleman there she doesn't know, and he asks her, do me a favor, I just came from a trip. You have any water? And she says, sure, take as much water as you want. The camels drink a lot. So she's running back and forth with pails of water, heavy pails of water, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And there's a guy standing there like this, and 10 men standing here like this, watching her. I don't picture the scene. 11 strapping young men, they're all standing with their hands folded, just watching her go back and forth. What was she thinking? I once said this over, and somebody said, oh, wait, she wasn't thinking anything. I said, if you think she wasn't thinking anything, you're shortchanging the emos. What was she thinking? It's bizarre, this whole scene. She's running back and forth and back and forth. There's a din of Tina and Prika. If that guy doesn't help you, you're puppet. Here, she's mom's getting crushed under the load, going back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and they're not lifting a finger, not even an offer. So what was she thinking? It's a very important kasha. I think she noticed, and she registered in her mind for a moment. He says, "You know, this is odd. They can carry this with their pinky, and I'm melting under the load, and I'm working here for hours and hours, filling up for the camels, and they're not budging." And what did she think after that crossed her mind? She said, "You know, it's a good kasha, but if I start to ask them, I might insult them, and this is my opportunity to do chesed. And if you do chesed, you start asking shaylas every time you do chesed, you never end up doing the chesed, because there's always good kashas. Why are you coming to me? Do you really need the money? Do you really need this help and that help?" And by the time you finish the whole litany of questions, you're basically going to say, "Nah, it's not a worthy cause." So her godlessness got her into Klal Yisrael. This is what Eliezer was looking for. Her godless was chesed without cheshbenis. Otherwise, it can't be explained. It didn't make any sense. And if somebody's standing on the side, they would say, "Chutzpah. You men, what are you, good for nothing to stand there? Why don't you unfold your hands and go help the girl?" They didn't help because Eliezer told them not to move. Same reason he didn't move. He wanted to see this chesed, and then this chesed where the Adam Behemoth Toshi Hashem is that the chesed almost didn't make sense. It's a credible idea, and I've received many questions over the years on this idea. I said, "Wow, they take advantage of you, they step all over you." I said, "Yeah, there are people who spend their whole life being on guard that they shouldn't step on me, but they don't end up really doing anything for anybody because they're always nervous maybe they're going to take advantage." So I said, if you're going to make a mistake in one direction or another. If you're going to err on one side, err on the side of, so they stepped on you a little bit, but at least you did more. And again, that takes a certain amount of anivas and a certain amount of just not thinking it through as much as you'd like to, because you got to jump in and just do the chesed and write the check. That's basically it. I didn't tell him over the whole mashal last night, but I said, it's a very hard avoda. I told him, I don't know. Of writing big checks all day, again and again and again, and they're coming to you, and it's never enough, and they're asking again, and they're asking again. So you have to know the desperate situation where they're coming from, Ashrecha, the year on the giving side, and it's difficult. But that doesn't mean it's potter, it just means you get more schar. And we, again, like to be organized. And I told them, I said, it's not against being organized. You have a cheshbon, you have a budget, and they've all said, yeah, we're way over. I said, is there any sakana that you're not paying the bills now? So they smiled. Because that was a sarcastic question. They said, yeah, but what about how much should we leave for investments and for our kids? I said, there's no chiyuv d'oraisa to leave all your children, each one independently wealthy, even though people think there is. And chayecha kedmin. It's not only for somebody with millions and millions of dollars. This is stama cheshbon. What do you say chayecha kedmin over here? On the other hand, there is a parasha of Yerusha, which they asked me. I said, the parasha of Yerusha is if there's money, which is usually the case. The question is, how much, and how much do you do for yourself? And this is true in money, this is true in time. So, there are a lot of shaylas here that I'm raising. I'm not going to offer any answers, but it's a very individual thing. Is you've got to take stock as long as there's an accounting season, which this is the accounting season for Rokhniyas that happens to coincide with corporate accounting. One accountant complained to me, he says, Yamna Ram, it falls out. And I'm very busy at the office. I said, yeah, that's they tell me Pesach time with the private returns, with the individual returns. No season's going to be free. At least Slichas came out Labor Day weekend, so you can focus a little bit. But for some people, it's not a question of no one's doing blatant averus and no one's ignoring mitzvahs. It's a question of re-examining where you're at and are you really raising the bar as far as you can. what pushes us to make decisions. So that's part of our title. So a lot of it is our own perceived gaiva, that we could figure things out ourselves, which we spoke about. And of course, the second biggest variable, if not the first, is the peer pressure. A negative or positive. What are people going to think of us? What are other people doing? There's a very interesting, I'll quote it, some of it inside. Somebody sent this to me a while back. It was, of course, written by a Yid. He's not yet from, but we're working on it. He's a very famous author. His name is Dan Ariely. Anybody ever hear him? He's an Israeli who been through a lot in his life. He was he was in the army. It's Israel, and he had got severe burns in an accident involving shouldn't have happened, but Hashem was gozer that it did. And he was in the hospital for years recovering, and he writes himself in the Agdama that he had a lot of time to think. So often that makes people from. He didn't get there yet, but he certainly is on the way based on the way he's dissecting life and how people operate. And his books are well-known throughout. He's now a professor here in the States. And he has a very interesting way of bringing things out. You see the Pintala Yid over here and the Neshama that is almost crying out. He did one very interesting study, which I think touches up what we have to understand about ourselves and what to watch out for. He entitles it The Truth About Relativity. He says, he's trying to explain why everything is relative, even though it shouldn't be. And this is very basic for Yiddishkeit, even though he's not talking about Judaism at all. He says he once came across, he said he was surfing online, which is not a Hechsher stempel to be doing that in our circles. If you are, make sure you have your filter and your accountability program. Always mention that disclaimer. He said he came across an ad for The Economist. Economist is a business magazine published in England. And he said they had three choices. Welcome to the Economist Subscription Center. Choice number one, listen carefully, is the online subscription, economist.com, for $59 a year. Okay. Then, the second choice is the print subscription for $125. And then choice number three was the print and the web subscription for $125. This guy's very smart. He's a professor, I think, at MIT now. So, he says himself, he looked up and looked back down. He thought he read something wrong. And he thought maybe it was a typo. But, you know, Economist is a pretty sophisticated publication. And I'll be reading to you his lesson here. He said the print-only option might have been a typo, but I suspect that the clever people of the Economist London office were actually manipulating me. I'm pretty certain they wanted me to skip the internet-only option, which they assumed would be my choice because I was reading the advertisement on the web, and jump to the more expensive option, internet and print. They want to make more money here. So somebody's on the web, of course they're going to order the internet. So how'd they get them to order the print? So how can they manipulate me? They knew something important about human behavior. Humans rarely choose things in absolute terms. That's if you're not from. We don't have, Nebuch, those who are not from, are not Jewish, they don't have an internal value meter that tells us how much things are worth. Rather, we focus on the relative advantage of one thing over the other and estimate the value accordingly. He says, for instance, I don't know how much a six-cylinder car is worth, but I know it's worth more than a four-cylinder model. Still doesn't tell him much, but at least he has a basis of comparison. In the case of The Economist, I might not have known whether the internet subscription of $59 is a better deal than the print only at $125, but I certainly knew that the print and internet for $125 was a better deal than the print only at $125. Brilliant marketing. I'm a genius. I wonder if everybody has duplicated this. In fact, you can reasonably deduce that the combination package, the internet subscription, is free. So, what conclusion did he have from here? He says, they figured out that most people don't know exactly what they want in life at all unless they have a basis of comparison or see it in the context of something. He gives an example. People don't even know what type of bike they want to buy unless they see some champ in a Tour de France. That must be a famous ratcheting the gears in a particular model. He says, oh, now I see the model. That's what I want. This is the whole trillion dollar advertising industry is based on this. So we sell people things they don't need. And if they do need it, they have no clue what they need. So if they see somebody else has it, then they want it. Everything is relative, and that's the point. Like an airplane pilot landing in the dark, we want runway lights on either side of us guiding us to the place we can touch down our wheels. And he has a whole chapter on this theme, which he thinks is very odd. Why can't humans just make up their mind based on the merits of it, where they have to be compared to everything else? The answer, our answer, is that this is a base human condition, and the gift of Torah Mesinai and Shulchan Aruch, and the process in which we figure out halacha and hashgafa, is that we don't have to look at what everybody else is doing. It helps to be in the right crowd and to have positive reinforcement and the positive peer pressure. But we in America are very subservient to this entire culture that we're looking around and we're seeing, you know, are they doing this? Are they not doing it? Whether it be in gashmias, whether it be in ruchnias. Not realizing that everybody has their own personal avoida, and people are able to do things that other people can't do, and the fact that you feel you have the initiative shouldn't be held back by the fact that, well, look around, nobody else is doing it. And that's difficult, because nobody likes to stick out. I had somebody else recently tell me, they sit next to a guy in shul, and staring at Tzibu a little bit, I said, what's the problem? He says, the guy's davening out loud. I said, he's right. I said, why is he right? He says, well, the fact that nobody else davens out loud, this is an Ashkenazic thing. Sfaradim are much better at this. They say every word for word from Mida'ani, and you can actually know the words and understand the words. And it almost became a cultural thing. This guy happens not to be a Sfaradi, but he's 100% right. He said, well, nobody else is doing it. I said, that's his godless. So maybe instead of complaining about the fact, he wasn't screaming and yelling, I didn't even notice it. I said, you're climbing? He said, no, it's just that every time he starts a kapitel, he says it out loud, and he finishes, Tilas Hashem. I said, that's Gevaldik. He said, yeah, but I don't see anybody else doing it. I said, that's a godless that he doesn't really care. He wants to be able to grow in his kavana. I said, the only place is connected to din is if you're screaming the Melishman Esrei, the Shtil Lishman Esrei. Otherwise, halavai, if we had 10 people like this, it would be a different davening. But why is it that in camp, from ages 8, 9, till around 13, 14, every kid is screaming, Yehi Shmei Rabbah, especially during color work? Why is that? The answer is, everybody's doing it, and it's color war, and the red team is going to win, and we're going to show them, and then that's it. So we grow older, and then we say, okay, let's look around and see who's doing this, who's not. And it's pretty scary, because the people who want to be a little different already feel strange. Instead of taking the attitude, you know what, if I yell out the HMA rap a little bit louder, maybe I'll get a couple of people to start doing it, even though it doesn't seem to be the minute. And he just resigns. His maskana, because he's not from yet, is that this is the way it is, and if you want to succeed, you got to blend in with the crowd. The difficult part of this is we look at success and failure in the physical world, and it's very hard to figure out, well, he's doing this, and he's a normal guy, or he's not doing this, and he seems to be matzliach. In America, we usually measure hatzlacha with either finance or fame or popularity or things like that. And it's an Alma de Shikra. In Tfilas Chana, the most telling line, I think, is Ain Sur Ke Lekenu. Chazal Darshan, Ain Sur Ke Lekenu is Ain Sayar. There's no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dresses everything up, so it looks like this is Haslocha and this is failure, and often is not only incorrect, but sometimes it's the exact opposite. And it's very hard to see through that, because it looks like he's being masliach, and therefore we want to be like him. And true atzlacha is only based on measuring our capabilities against what we can do, not against what he can do. There's a short of time, so I'll skip to one more theme in this regard. Hatzlacha, lack thereof, or what it looks like. Would you ever wonder why it's clear in all the Gemaras and all the Chazals that Mashiach ben David has to be Dafka from David, not from Moshe Rabbeinu, or not from Yitzchak Lotz of any other tzaddik Yisrael Elam? What's the godless of David HaMelech that got him this, the Shoshalos HaMelucha, and got him the ability to be guaranteed that his Yetzir Chalotza will be the Melech HaMashiach? So I think the answer is as follows. If you have just a short understanding of David HaMelech's life, a lot of this you probably know, but to bring it out in its almost Peladic and suffering that he had from day one. You're all aware that when David HaMelech was born, so they thought he was a mamzer, all medrash kliya, and they basically, the brothers wanted to kill him, and Yishai said, "Don't kill him, just put him out the pasture, literally and figuratively, and we'll treat him like a stepson, and he'll be out in the back, and maybe he'll get killed by one of the lions that come along," which he thought, "Oh, this was killed, and he'll serve everybody, and we'll let him live." Spent 28 years of his life. So all the formative years is what makes an impression on the personality of a person. 28 years. He was ignored, belittled, oppressed in a way. They didn't torture him, it's still Yishai's family, but psychologically, we'd say somebody who comes out of this, if they come out alive, are going to be damaged goods for life. And usually a person like this who ends up taking power, which he will, it's a mediocre person would take nakama on all the people who oppressed him the whole time, whether they're immediate family or not. And if they're on a higher madriga, they won't take nakama, but they won't be this compassionate Isha Chesed that we know is David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is godless after being mistreated for 28 years, and to the extent that you all know, when Shmuel HaNavi came to privately, secretly, to anoint the next king, Aliyev walked in, he thought it was Aliyev, Achmeg and Meshichai, and Hashem said, yeah, he looks every inch a leader, and if Shmuel HaNavi thought he was very capable at running the country. And he was come out perfect. Hashem said, there's one little pagam which Rashi brings down, he got angry, which the Mefarshim say, it didn't even happen yet. It's going to happen later when Dabanel comes to the battle of Goliath, they were on the front lines, and he came just to check on them. And he said, what are you doing here? Would you leave the sheep? So he was possible for the Melucha because he's going to get angry. That means he never got angry yet, it happened once in his life. But he had that Midah. And therefore, he's already puzzled. And they went down all the brothers, and each one was Gavaldic, and each one had a tiny psul until they got the David who had no psul, which means, Rabbi Musa pointed this out, and this is the biggest pella. Not only did David not take the kama, not only did he come out in Ish Mushlim and Ish Chesed and Ish Stoka and used all his Midah Vachzarius, represented by his red hair and Esav, to kill the Rishon, he didn't even have internally a bone in his body that had tainas on anybody for what they did. Because if he did, he would have been rejected like Aliyev, because Aliyev only was rejected because he had this midah which would resurface later once in one remark in his life. David didn't even have that. He put that together with what happened after he was finally anointed. So picture David HaMelech is sitting in the nice grass by a stream, a beautiful day like this, it's 68 degrees and sunny, and the sheep are eating. And he's writing to Hillam, and he's learning life couldn't be better. And all of a sudden, one day, out of nowhere, he's called back to the house. The Navi Adar is here, come in, he wants to speak to you, we don't know what it's about. He walks in, and everybody stands up, and he gets Mashiach, and then Shmuel HaNavi goes home. And from that day on, David HaMelech couldn't sleep for 2 hours in the same place. They were trying to kill him. And Shaul stayed after him. This went on for years. And Mamash was afraid for his life. So life was so beautiful, so tranquil, so complete. Nothing was wrong. And then all of a sudden, gets anointed to be king. We'd say, Gavaldik! Any normal person, quote unquote, would have gone back to Shmuel HaNavi and said, I don't know exactly why I deserve this, but please take it back. It's not for me. And David HaMelech didn't do that. He understood, whatever caused this, I should be maturv, bedaiti, I should be running from place to place, people should try to kill me. If you look at the Navi, Shaul almost closed in on him quite a number of times. It was this close. And this is after Hashem promised him the Melucha, and he was anointed already. So now I should have a problem. And David HaMelech didn't have any tainis. He didn't have a tainis on people, didn't have a tainis on Kosh Baruch Hu, both of which are a chiddush nifla, especially the people part. And went through life just giving, 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 to others, even though he received none of that in his formative years. There are many people who go through life and they think that it's magia lahem, especially the way they suffered from others. I deal with Dinei Torah, the people, besides the Chesh HaMishpat part of it, understandably, the animosity and the anger between the bosses and the employees and the partners, how can you do this to me? And they carry with that baggage, okay, goes with them the rest of their life. And their interaction with anybody else, I'm often asked when I tell people to calm down and to be a little more trusting, they say, Rebbe, don't you know the Gemara? Chabdeo v'chatsheo. Everybody knows that Gemara. Chabdeo v'chatsheo. So I think the first word is chabdeo, and then there's also the chiddush is chatsheo. And there's some people go through life, it's chatsheo v'chatsheo v'chatsheo v'chatsheo. And then I said, where's the chabdeo fitting? He says, yeah, you have to know people. He says, you get burnt twice or three times, you learn your lesson. And the rest of your life is, everybody is a potential enemy and everybody is out to get you. And the truth is, I live in this world, and the truth is, many people have asked me, is isn't it true that, they ask me, is you see a lot of fights, which I do, isn't it true that everybody is out to get everybody else? I said, it might be true, it's a horrible way to live. Is there enough good people? Maybe it's a minority, I believe everybody deep down is good, but but they're there. And again, if you're going to err in one direction or another, err in the direction of giving a guy the benefit of the doubt, trying to get along with people. If you got burnt and you survived, you might get burnt again. I'd still rather go through life. Some people call it delusional, but it's not. Hashem asks us to still, whatever happens in life, to be down the katzbus, and still try to be mekayim haftarei chamecha, and still try to be happy. And that people, as they grow older, and they get burnt by this and burnt by that, and they have tainus on people, and tainus on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you can't possibly operate, and you certainly can't provide leadership if you walk around with all this baggage. I believe David excelled in this. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have his issues with Tassav Avirim and Korach and all the others, but David HaMelech excelled in this area, this bitachon, this amunah, and this yishuv hadas, that even though he spent most of his life in the doghouse, he ended up not only coming to his own, but he was able to provide leadership without any of this baggage. And because of that, he was zeicha to have the ultimate leadership. The Rambam says in the Perush HaMishnayos, he talks about the Yud Gimel Ikarim. He says a basic of this particular ikar of Bias HaMashiach is Yachakol L'Sheyava, you have to be a maimon, he will come. And he says, if a person is missing any detail from this ikar, he's an apikaris. And the Rambam adds two details. One is that it has to be Dafka from David HaMelech, and he says, not Stam David HaMelech, it has to be David HaMelech through Shlomo. So why is that? Why does it have to be David HaMelech, and why does it have to be through Shlomo? Why through Shlomo? Shlomo is one, if it happens to be, it was through Shlomo, but why is that an ikar? I believe the answer is that Shlomo HaMelech was the result. If you had a short list of, you had hundreds of children, who's going to be the now next crown prince? Who's going to be the next king? I think Shlomo HaMelech on the list would be 106, if that high. Politically, it was the worst pick you can make, because the taina that he had, the reason he almost lost the throne, is because the Maisa Basheva, and Shlomo HaMelech was a result of that union. So talk about anything else. Don't talk about anything that's going to remind anybody of Basheva. He promised Basheva, but it wasn't just David HaMelech. Hashem ratified that promise, and Hashem said, Shlomo's going to be the next king. So we have to answer up in just a Navi, why would Shlomo be picked? Hele Gun Hashem, okay, but he had other sons also were very strong. Why Shlomo Melchim? Why is it an ikr that we have to know the Melchim Mashiach is coming from David and from Shlomo? I think the answer is that the second aspect of this godless of David HaMelech, not only didn't he let his childhood get to him and the persecution and everything that happened after he was selected to lead Klal Yisrael, even after he made a mistake in life, he was able to pick himself up and go weiter. And even when he was thrown off the throne by Avshalom, he says in the pasuk, if Hashem, I don't know what the plan is, if Hashem wants me back, I'm going to fight to come back. If he doesn't want me back, I'd be happy to go learn in the Beis Medrash. But he understood that when he came back, he's now king again, and the fact that Shlomo came from this union, the first child died. Now as the second child, that means Hashem brought me back, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You pick yourself up and you go weiter. And Shlomo represents that tikkun. And therefore the Melech Mashiach has to dafka come, not only from David, but through Shlomo, to show that even if you're David, and even if you made a mistake which caused a lot of problems, you can get back on the horse, I can go further in life. And if a leader doesn't understand that, he's not going to make a good melech, and he's certainly not going to be the melech of Mashiach. Because it has to be that type of leadership. And leadership could be a Rosh Kehillah, could be a Rav, but it can be everybody, because it's your family, and it's your spouse, and it's your friend, and whoever you're trying to make an impression on. And many people get broken in the process by things that are done to them, and things that they witness, and things that they went through, and averas that they have. And it's a tricky thing. You got to do tshuva, you got to say the al-chait, but you also can't fall into that trap of saying, well, once I did it, it's messed up for life. No, Shlomo HaMelech was a resultant. He was chosen because David HaMelech was able to get past it. So some of the things to think about. One last idea about David HaMelech, and we'll leave it with this. You'll notice in this Ashkenaz, Pesukah Zimba starts with Mizmor Mashiach HaMikdash HaBayis LaDavid. This is five. It also starts just as a preamble, but it's really the beginning of Pesukah Zimra. If you've read the capital, it's a beautiful song of praise. Amimcha Hashem ki didisani, simachta evayli. It talks about he's saving his enemies. Hashem ki saving him and saving him. The top line is Mizmor Mashiach HaMikdash HaBayis LaDavid. It doesn't say a word about Binyan HaMikdash. Question number one is, why not? What happened to the theme? The title is usually the theme. It's like, well, why are we starting off davening with this? The answer, I believe, is as follows, and it's the same theme. David HaMelech spent his entire life preparing for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. He was supposed to be the Mashiach. The Rambam says there are three mitzvahs to do when you get to Eretz Yisrael. You have to wipe out Amalek, you have to appoint a king, wipe out Amalek, and then build the Beis HaMikdash. And David HaMelech, yeah, Baniach Hashem Mikol Eivov, and he came to Nasan Ravi, and he said, I want to build Nasan Ravi. He says, it's a great idea. Then Hashem said, it's a great idea, but quickly in the middle of the night, go back and tell him he can't. Various explanations. He's an Ish Mechama. All the Mechamas were fought L'Shem Shamayim. You need Shalom. It has to be Shlomo HaMelech. Whatever the explanation is, David HaMelech spent his whole life, every battle he set aside the supplies, never touched the money. His whole Shifa Sachayim was to build the Beis HaMikdash. After decades of fighting, brutal fighting, internally, externally, but he's finally ready to build it, and Hashem comes back with a no without much of an explanation. Again, anybody else would have been so crushed. On a good day, a good reaction would be, okay, you know what, I don't have to be king anymore, I'm going to the Beis Medrash, I have what to do. Not for me. And David HaMelech said, okay, don't fully understand it. There's a little Masa Matan in the Medrash. Some say he couldn't build it. He was too great. Hashem wouldn't be able to destroy it. Whatever the pshat is, it was a crushing blow. Spent your whole life working on something. And the answer is no. And I believe that's why we start off in davening. We're going to have a whole davening of bakashas and things we want and things we want to do and things we think we should be doing. So the lead-off is Miz Mashiach HaMikdash HaBayis LaDavid. Hashem's answer was no. The primary focus was building the space of Mikdash, and David HaMelech starts off, and then he says, you know what? Hashem saved me from everything else. He put me here. Obviously, I still have other things to do. Hashem saved me time and time again, despite my very awkward and disadvantaged beginning. And this is the theme of davening, is that you can ask whatever you want in Yom Narom. Go and ask for the world. If we're Zaycha, Hashem won't give it to us if it's not good for us. And if we're Zaycha, we will get it. But understand, if the answer is no, there's still plenty to do, and you have to follow the lead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who puts you in the right place, the right people, the right time, to be able to accomplish whatever we can accomplish. See you next year. Good night.
Recording went out.
Yours went out.